And mahalo for listening to Kauai Community Radio. We so appreciate all the support.
Aloha, Felicia. How are you today? What's on your mind?
Oh, there is so much on my mind. I just see my beloved auntie walking in the room, too. Auntie Puanani Rogers. She's amazing. She's going to help us in our discussion in a little bit. At the very beginning of the show, I want to lift up the family members of those who were lost. There's five people who passed away at Port Allen in a plane crash.
Blessings to their families.
So very sad. I haven't yet learned the names of who it is, and the whole island grieves with you. We're sorry for what has happened, and there's just not words to soften that. But I do want to put a big mahalo Keakua out for Harmony Harwell. She came out cancer-free in her test, and she's...
Oh, praise God.
Yeah, she's been one of our warriors that has worked so hard for keeping Kauai safe and clean, and she has been motivated, actually, in some of the whole movement against pesticides, because as a mother of young children... And fighting against cancer, it becomes a very, very vibrant issue for her, for all of us.
What's your name, Matthew?
This is Marshall.
Marshall.
Marshall's in here.
Marshall, aloha, and thank you for coming
in.
Thank
you, Marshall, for setting me up.
So I wanted to read KKCR's mission statement again, because just to help people know what Kauai's Soapbox is about, and then like for Auntie Nani here, she's got Living Sovereign. There's a number of public affairs programs, and because Kauai Community Radio is Kauai's only independent, non-commercial, listener-supported community radio station, we seek to stimulate, educate, and entertain our audience to preserve, perpetuate, and celebrate Hawaiian culture and to reflect the diversity of the local and world community. We provide a forum for overlooked, suppressed, and underrepresented voices in music. So that is one of the things that we do. And so we very often are honoring activism and the citizen voice.
And don't forget that KKCR also helps us keep safe in the event of an emergency. Tsunamis, floods, hurricanes can happen at any time. And so to our listeners, help support KKCR to keep the community safe by calling 826-7774.
Yep, 826-7774. And our goal for the show today is $1,000. So we hope that we can pull off that $1,000. And this is, tomorrow is the last day of the fund drive. So we just need $4,542 left.
That's great. We're doing great.
That's our goal.
Mm, yeah.
Why? We're doing super great.
So, Auntie Nani, one of the things that Marshall and I have been following at the beginning of the show is the politics. Marshall, was there any primaries today?
Yes. The Republicans held their Washington State primary today. And last I checked, there were no results in. Let's take a look. Now, I'm still not seeing results on that, but, of course, it really will have no bearing on the race. The Republicans have their presumptive nominee,
who is Donald Trump, because everybody else has left the race.
That's right.
So that will probably be an uncontested convention, and that's in Ohio, right?
Cleveland, yes.
Cleveland, yeah.
And, there was a lot of speculation about how it was going to split the Republican Party, and, third party candidate, and what's it's going to tear people that couldn't possibly support Trump, couldn't possibly identify themselves with him and his ideas and his style. But no, it seems like for the most part, Republicans are pretty fine with that. And that's what they're going to go
for. So they have their candidate. June 7th, which is 2 weeks from today, that is the very big primary day. There, I think, is five more primaries. So The biggest one is California, but collectively there's a good number of states there. And so even though the Democratic Party is largely calling it for Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders hasn't given up, nor has his people.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you know what I think is coming through more and more from his campaign is that whether or not the campaign itself ends in the victory of a nomination, the ideas will live. There's, you know, he's been saying all along that it's a political and economic revolution, and I think that revolution is largely larger than his fight for a nomination.
Well, I think it's larger than him.
Right.
But I think with the other two candidates that are out there, neither one of them represents his movement, really, at any level. I mean, they might pretend. One of them pretends, but...
Yes.
Getting on his bandwagon.
But he started it all. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's amazing. And then, you know, when he's gone from, you know, I saw some of his announcement events a year ago, and there's like 25 people at them, and now, you know, five events in the same day with tens of thousands of people. Like, he's really doing a lot in California. We'll see.
Mm.
This weekend is the Democratic Convention.
You're going.
I'm going. Are you?
A'oli,
no. Yes, but I am going.
I only joined it so that I could vote for Bernie Sanders. That's why. I don't think I was in any party. I was independent. Prior to this year.
So this weekend, the convention is on Oahu. I think it's going to be... hopefully it will be smooth and cooperative. I think it will be a little bit of a struggle. I think that... you know, Hawaii is a little microcosm of what's going on in the United States and in the world. And so here in Hawaii, the people overwhelmingly have voted for Bernie Sanders. And I think, you know, even yourself as an example, many Kanaka Maoli who are looking for a sovereign nation still came out and voted for Bernie Sanders, whereas our established political leaders are behind Hillary Clinton. And so... that is going to be the tug of war there, both for the rules of what goes on next time, the resolutions that might be passed, and then certainly trying to change the mind of some of the superdelegates. And, you know, there'll be the voting of who goes as the delegates to Philadelphia.
Right. And so you're attending as a delegate from the county of Kauai to the state convention.
From my precinct 14-2, I'm a Kilauea delegate.
Okay. And what are you hoping to bring to the convention? What's your desired outcome that you want to promote?
Well, I guess I had just said it. I want to really see that when
Bernie.
I want to see, you know, Bernie had 70% and he had, you know, he had every precinct but three. And I want to make sure that when the delegates go to Philadelphia, that the ones that are chosen, that we have that right ratio there, and to really try and encourage our super delegates to consider their vote. Because what we're seeing even on the polls is Donald Trump is even now coming ahead of Hillary Clinton in some of these polls, and most of them, the margin of error is so slim, whereas when you look at Bernie Sanders in there, it's a little revolution of people who are all about helping each other, and it's one of a big heart, you know, rather than scorn for
corporate
people.
Money, militarism.
Yeah.
World power. A lot of greed and money involved.
It's a little hard to put much into those poll results right now, saying that he would do better against Donald Trump than Hillary would. You know, he hasn't had negative ads run against him yet, and there's actually...
you know, I'm going to just sit there.
I don't think there needs to be. He already is killing himself everything he's saying.
I think he means that Bernie hasn't had the negative ads, but what he's had more powerful than negative ads is the whole Democratic National Committee has been against him. He's had to fight them in every primary, every caucus, just about every place he's had to sit there and swim upstream in a very strong current. And so just, you know, he's got the media basically writing him off, you know, from the very beginning, and the superdelegates were picked before they even knew he was running, you know, so that was really problematic.
You have rigging the system, but then you have destroying a candidate, you know, in front of mass media. That just has not happened to him. I'm a Bernie supporter. I would love to see him get the support of the superdelegates at the national convention because he would do better against Trump. I'd love to see all that, but... you know, I just don't think you can look at the polls now when he hasn't been tested against a, you know, a wide spectrum electorate.
Right. Okay. That's fair.
Which is corrupt. The election process is corrupt. People that have the most money are the ones that usually win in any of these United States elections. I'm totally against them because they can screw it up as much as they want to. In many cases, they have. Remember what happened to Bernie in Brooklyn? How they just did not get the people that to vote for him permission to vote.
Right, right.
Only because they didn't register or something, but their names.
They removed their names from the
right,
registration.
Okay, so
like
see, the corruption continues, the collusion continues in all elections, so I don't care what the media is saying or whatever, it is corrupt. It is a wrong way for us to pick leaders of our country. We better come up with a different way.
Well, and he has. He has.
Who has?
Bernie Sanders has, by being supported only by individual donations,
yes,
an average of $27. And
that is one of the corruptions of supporting funding for these candidates.
Yeah, and so Bernie has done it all on small donations.
Felicia, I could talk about national politics forever, but I know you've got some other things to get to.
I've got pages of stuff that's local. So we're,
let's get down to it.
We're you know... thinking global, acting local, or right now,
exactly.
thinking about the nation, but or the nation of the United States of America. I know we have a nation.
History is fake.
Right. Okay. So, I'm going to just announce a few things because we've got a lot to cover today, and we want to get people to call in to KKCR. At 826-7774, or you could go right to kkcr.org and push the Donate Now button. Keep us on the air. A nice thing with Kauai Community Radio is we are not publicly funded. We are community funded.
Mm-hmm.
So we can truthfully talk story. You know, you can't say bad things.
Freedom of speech.
But it's freedom of speech. Freedom still
yes.
of speech still exists on KKCR.
And the kind of homework you do, Felicia, you know, research and attending meetings and talking to people, and you bring that all here and just make that available so easily to the community. It's priceless. And I encourage people to call up and support that if they appreciate hearing what you have to say.
Yes, well,
yeah.
I agree.
Thank you so much. I will say that I do work tirelessly at trying to show up for people when they have citizen activism, which is what we're going to be talking about mostly today, when they are discussing some of the things that were the main one. The biggest one we're going to talk about is the expansion of Papahanao Mokuakea that's being proposed. But we're going to touch on a few other ones that happened this week, from animals to water and different issues
water,
like that.
Okay,
what you got?
I'm going to give some announcements, though, first.
Okay.
One is Tropicare, which is
coming back
June 20th to 29th. And I will be honest, the first time they came, I was pretty skeptical. I went, you know, I always go straight to it. But I they seem like really nice, good people, you know, for whatever might be the backstory behind it, for people who have a hard time getting access to health care, dental care, getting glasses, it's a good thing. You go and it's free, and what they're doing is they are practicing, they're getting training of what it would be to set up a medical situation if they were deployed somewhere. So that is June 20th through 29th.
Where? Saints Church again?
Yeah. Well, let me pull it up.
Okay.
I have. Thank you. I should have had that right in front of me because I do have it on my computer. It's you know, Kekahali.
I can look that up, Felicia.
Okay, I've got a look it up. I've got a poster right on my Facebook page, a little bit down. So while he's looking that up.
So it's glasses, dental care,
and then
and
you know, basic
blood
medical,
pressure, all that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
you know, and they have pharmacy prescription stuff. They're not going to take your appendix
and
out.
And I think they also have buses to shuttle people to.
I think it's free.
Okay,
free
so
shuttle.
We've got LA Elementary School, Kauai Community College, and Kapa'a Middle School.
Oh, so they moved it in Kapa'a.
Oh, it's Kapa'a Middle School. Okay.
And that's June 20th to 29th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., except Sunday, June 26th, and on which day the clinics close at 12 p.m. We've got free physical exams, eyeglasses, dental exams, tooth extractions, and fillings. If you need more information or any kind of auxiliary support, contact the Department of Health at 808-241-3555, 808-241-3555.
And they
are information on shuttles.
No, it says nothing about shuttles.
Okay.
But they might have that. They might have free. Usually they have free buses. So we'll see. But the Department of Health, by the way, is right across from the old county building.
Yes.
In Lihue. So then on this Thursday, Governor Ige is going to be a guest at the Chamber of Commerce. So that is
I'm barfing.
No. Yeah, I know. Professionalism here. Okay.
Yes.
It is.
Keep those calls coming.
826-7774.
Yes.
Okay. It's an excellent opportunity to respectfully share thoughts. You know, like, I think it's a. Ige, what I will give him credit for is he is one of the few who has yet is uncommitted of our superdelegates. Tulsi Gabbard is committed to Bernie. Most of them are committed to Bernie. Governor Ige is saying, okay, he hasn't made up his mind yet. So thank you, Governor Ige, for not having made up your mind yet.
But hurry up.
We want to encourage you to think about...
Put the X on Bernie's
name. Bernie, where the people are. So I will be at that on Thursday.
Is it just one day?
He is coming for a luncheon.
Oh, no. But the convention
is... The convention's Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, 2 days. Okay.
So I'll be over there for those 2 days.
Where will he be again? I'm sorry. When you said where, I was barfing. Oh.
Okay, he is at the Marriott. I should pull that one up. I get all these different fields up in front of everything. He is at the Marriott Kauai Beach Club, you know, in Lihue. So it's in the Marriott right down there in your Kalapaki. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where he is. Almost in the same place the Lihue Business Association
is sponsoring.
Well, they're
hosting.
That morning, it's the Chamber of Commerce who's sponsoring him. Okay. But in the morning, the Lihue Business Association, they are having three really good speakers on education and looking at, like, how we might be adapting education for charter schools and stuff like that. The Lihue Business Association, really, they have very good speakers. Like, in the next month, that would be the fourth Thursday of June, they will have all four of the legislators, usually at the end of the legislative season.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be Ron Kochi, Jimmy Tokioka, D. Morikawa, and Derek Kawakami. So they will be there that time. And those are two things there. On May 25th, which is tomorrow, it happened today, and then also tomorrow, there is this discussion on Lima'ola affordable housing. They're having a meeting. Housing is such a big deal for everybody. This meeting is in Hanapepe. Let me pull that one up.
Where's that going to be?
They're having it today. It's done already, though. They had it at the neighborhood center at Hanapepe, but tomorrow it's going to be at the LELA Elementary School Library from 5 to 8 p.m.
And the residences themselves, where will they be?
They're going to be right there on the bluff at LELA. So it's a good opportunity for people to come in and hear what's going on.
What is the topic?
The affordable housing that they're building, you know, they're putting in a really big complex of affordable housing, and affordable housing is very needed.
Mm-hmm.
And on that point...
Depends on what you mean by affordable.
It depends, but there's a lot, there'll be a range, and, you know, yeah, but it's pretty difficult. And
the number is quite fair many times,
I found. A good place for you to come and share your mana'o on it. The next general plan update meeting that's coming is focused on housing and social justice.
Okay. And I want to be there.
And so I'll have Marshall go to kawaiiplan.com, and he'll look exactly what date that is.
I'll write it down.
It's a Monday. Typically, these Citizens Advisory Committee meetings, and they're from 2:30 to 5:30 in the same building that the Planning Commission meets. And it's in June. I'm wanting to say... Let me see if I have that here. Sorry, people. It's June 13th, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But Marshall's still looking it up.
No, at kawaiiplan.com?
Or plankawaii.com. Might be that. Okay, this weekend, Peter Astatoff was here. He's the lead attorney from Earth Justice.
Yes, I know him.
And I went and I listened to him speak. And he had some really good sharings about what's coming up in these Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal cases. That's the pesticides and GMO issues that were challenged. We had in all three islands or counties, Kauai, Maui, and Hawaii, citizen initiatives took so much energy to get all those signatures and overcome a $9 million initiative by the industry to silence the people, and yet they won, but it got fought in court. These companies, the pesticide, agrochemical companies, sued three of the islands. So on June 15th, I'm going to go to this one too, on Oahu in federal court. These appellate cases, they're going to try all three cases on the same day.
So I'm showing that the next meeting is on June 21st. Is that what you're thinking?
Okay, could be June 21st. Does it say housing?
Housing, social equity, and CEDS update. What's the CEDS update?
I forget. Right. I'll have to look it up. But that I forget what SED stands for.
Right. So June 21st, 2:30 to 5, in the Mo'ikeha.
Yeah, where the Planning Commission meets, you know, right there. So housing and social justice. So, you know, you can send stuff in. And so is that called plankawaii.com or Kauai Plan?
It's plankawaii.com.
Oh, plankawaii.
Yeah, plankawaii.com. And you go in there and you can give them your input. And they really want to hear it. You know, we have a very young planning department. And they are trying hard. And it helps them if we help them. So what we were learning with this Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals cases, you know, we have to watch it really closely. There's not something that people can do like writing letters ahead of time. But I think being physically present in the room there matters, and I really want to see what comes out of it. You know, I want to see what the logic is and where they're going. And it could be either a really big win for home rule and the people, or it could be a really big win for big industry. And so we need the courts to help us, because one thing I saw that last year in our state legislature, our Hawaii state legislature, there were 16 bills that were focused on ethics or constraining lobbying. All 16 bills failed. They didn't even so much as get one public hearing. So they just, if you have 16 different bills, that means the people are wanting it. But
those were all anti-GMO bills?
No, those were bills about constraining lobbying and ethics. That's the kind of thing, again, like what we're looking at the Democratic national campaigns about, is like who donates to you. You know, we have a representative, Cliff Tsuji from Hilo, and he's like the biotech legislator of the year. He's you know, and he single-handedly will just shut down anything.
Bill.
It just is like it doesn't even matter. 40 of us could fly over
he
there.
And Calvin say.
Yeah, Malama Solomon was one of the worst.
And her too.
But now she's gone. You
yes,
know.
Yes.
So these people have to sit there and start to learn to focus on us. But so,
mm-hmm.
in that case, 16 bills were submitted trying to like curb what might seem like poor ethics mm-hmm. or over being influenced by lobbyists. And anyway, they didn't even get a public hearing. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. You've got Marshall and Auntie Nani Rogers in the house here, and we are hoping that you call in at 826-7774
oh, yes, please do.
And help support our efforts here. Okay, so actually, in alignment with what has been happening, Earth Justice, they are suing the Agribusiness Development Corporation. That's already been submitted, and that's mm-hmm. for basically the water pollution in the stream. They have not monitored or controlled what they know are toxins and pesticides, and so those are being introduced along more than 20 miles of ditches, you know, taking the water, you know, from the mountain to the sea.
Especially to the sea.
To the sea. It's going into the ocean. So,
is that what Paul Achatoff spoke about?
That's what, yeah, he spoke
yeah,
about a number of things, you know, and another one was, and one of the people from the joint fact-finding study from Kauai, the pesticide issue, that pesticide study, that's the 2491, it is anticipated to be released on June 8th, the final draft of it. So people need to look at this. People need to look at this and
what did? But didn't somebody already review it and saw that it didn't protect the people and that their report was.
It actually backed up what basically 2491 asked for.
It did?
Mm-hmm, it did. And
I'm surprised, but that's good.
It was, and then what I heard was at a meeting, and one of the people who was on the joint fact-finding study said, is it's actually coming out stronger than it was. It's not coming out weaker.
Okay.
So where both sides of the issue, they can say, oh, it supports our perspective. For the industry, it says, okay, there's no proof that damage was done, but the reason is because there's no data. So just because there's an absence of data doesn't mean there's an absence of challenge. So that is coming out on June 8th,
mm-hmm.
and it's supposed to be coming out on June 8th. So people can be open to be looking for that one. And I think something that is really interesting is that there's at least four feature-length films coming out this year that feature Kauai and Hawaii's citizen struggles. That, you know, they're going to be in big film festivals like Sundance, and they'll be in Europe, and they're all over the world. And some of these films, like one of them's called Open Sesame, it's bouncing around the world looking at the problems that is experienced by people who are at the effect of the chemical drift. But, you know, people like Dustin Barca and, you know.
Ina is going all over the world right now.
Ina is going all over the world, and it played this weekend, and that's a 20-minute short subject.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is specifically just on Kauai.
Yes.
And these other ones are a little bit broader than that.
Yes.
But Kauai is featured in it. And so, you know, it's really putting a magnifying glass on this. So no matter what the courts say, you know, the world will be looking at this issue.
Yes, Kauai was the first testing ground. That's mm-hmm. why, too. It all started here.
Well,
decades ago.
It did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, I think you're right. It started here and probably a couple other places, but this was in the inception of that
mm-hmm.
effort.
Did you catch that Monsanto rejected Bayer's offer?
I did not catch that.
Yeah, they said it undervalued the company.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize that Bayer was in the business of seeds and agricultural chemicals.
Bayer is BASF, too. BASF is here. You know, they have different names. You know, like there's DuPont Pioneer or... Mm-hmm. So Dow is looking to merge Dow, with...
BASF.
Yeah. Dow. BASF.
Union Carbide.
Yeah, so Dow and Pioneer DuPont are looking to come together. Mm. Syngenta is being considered to be purchased by China, and then Monsanto and BASF, which BASF is part of Bayer, coming together. So it becomes a narrowing of, you know, what we have. So as we're kind of going down the list of these different policy statements that are coming out, and then we're going to move on very soon. We've gotten another person in here to talk about the Papahanaumokuakea expansion that's coming up in a moment. The environmental impact statement for the Waiopili stream contamination, that's Maha'ulipu.
Maha'ulipu.
And then Hawaii Dairy Farms impacts, that's their EIS. It's expected to be released June 8th. And, you know, they only come out, things like this come out maybe twice a month, best that I can understand as I watch it. So June 8th, that's the same reason that the joint fact-finding study as well as the environmental impact study in Maha'ulipu will probably come out on the same day. But so when this environmental impact statement comes out, there's going to be a 40-day window to respond. It might be able to be extended 30 more days than that. But when it comes out, people really have to pay attention and then...
Send in testimony.
And I think common citizen testimony is valuable. There will probably be attorneys that are responding and needing to have, you know, all those letters after your last name to be able to write the things the way they want it written. But a critical decision, we're in this window of where to decide who is going to be making the determination to say, all right, this is good or this is bad. And so one thing that happens for me as a programmer when I'm helping to report these studies or these stories, I end up learning a lot about public policy and the structure of government. So something I didn't know, but I do now, is that there are three different potential entities that could take on the decision-making about that environmental impact statement. So there's the Department of Health, the Department of Agriculture, or the Governor's Office. And I think my guess is, based on smart people who've told me, is that it's likely to be the Department of Health. So that's that for those pieces. Now, I'd like to move on to the Papahanaumokuakea expansion. And that is the Marine Monument, which was picked by George Bush, it seemed like, in one day worth of deciding. It had been something where it was going to be a marine reserve or, you know, and Lynn, I hear you laughing. You might know Lynn McNutt is in here, and I have Nani Rogers.
And Greg is almost here.
And then Greg Holtzman is coming in, and I'm going to want to allow you three to each have a piece of sharing your mana'o, sharing what you know about what this means before that we'll hold calls during the time till you guys are able to get it out.
But Shyla Moon is calling in, and she's going to call in on 7774.
Okay, so we'll catch that and we'll get that. And when she does, she can come on the air. So Greg Holtzman is in here, and Greg, let me see if you're mic'd up.
Hello, Kauai.
Greg is here. So Greg, you're a fisherman. Lynn, I want to describe you as a scientist and a grant writer. Is that accurate?
Well, I think the way to describe it is I am on the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council as the advisory panel member for Kauai.
Okay, yeah, that.
Yeah, which is...
and title.
Also, I'm on the Committee for Ecosystems and Habitat and the Working Group for Endangered Species.
So we can say safely that you're very well associated with this topic.
Well, yes, I'm a retired Marine scientist.
Okay, okay, thank you. So you know a lot about what we're talking about. And Auntie Nani Rogers, I want to call you a cultural practitioner.
Yes, I'm going to try to speak on the cultural aspects of the impacts upon Kapai'aina.
Who wants to go first? Okay. Lynn has her hand up. All right. So we're going to go Lynn, then perhaps Auntie Nani, and then Greg. And then you're telling me that somebody like Shyla might call in, so then we'll have her come in after that. And then if there are people listening that want to have a response to that, we'll take that afterwards. So we're going to hear your mana'o, and then it's very probable that people are listening that have an alternate view.
Yes.
An alternate view, and we'll listen.
I hope they call in.
Okay, and then
they give money.
Yes, we also need people to call in 826-7774 to give money, and then
if you care about our ocean and about the protection of our ocean resources, please.
Yeah, so we
will show your appreciation by becoming members of our radio station, please. Mahalo.
And then we'll see. We might have a caller who wants to come on the air with us. So we'll just bring her right up on the air.
All righty.
And then we're going to be listening. Oh, and I know what I was going to say, because there's so much action going on in here. Oops.
Whoa.
So on June 7th, people with an alternate viewpoint are going to come in and really share that one. And then so people who, I believe those people will come in that really are proponents of this. Right now we're hearing people that have concerns that don't think that this is exactly the right way. Both can kind of share in this. And then next week on Tuesday,
the other side of the story.
Tuesday, May 31st, everybody's going to be down there at the State Building. Is that correct? At 4:30?
That's correct.
That's right.
And that's what Shyla was going to talk about.
Okay, so, all right. And do we want to let her say that first? Or
No, that can be a special announcement. Oh, she's here.
She's on the line, too. But, Shyla, are you happy to just listen in for a moment while Lynn gives a little bit of an overview? Then we'll talk about the May 31st?
Yes.
Okay. And then when there's the May 31st thing... you know, I wouldn't be surprised if either viewpoint were maybe to call into the show. So there'll be 3 or 4 weeks of coverage of this. And
what's an important issue?
It's an important issue. It looks like it's almost the size of California, 400 miles wide.
No. It's the size of Washington, Oregon, and California.
Wow, really?
Yeah, really.
It's big.
It's huge. It's 660 square miles.
Okay, so a very big area that's like the size of the Western United States will be
restricted.
Restricted. Okay, so Lynn, tell us what's.
Okay, on January 29th in 2016, seven Hawaiians. I'll let Nani tell you who they were later, because that's more of an issue on her side. And they sent a letter to Barack Obama suggesting that he should use the Antiquities Act to create a monument and basically like quadruple the size of what's out there right now. And what was out there right now was built upon the coral reef conservation area that was done by Clinton in 2000, and in 2006 George Bush turned that into
monument.
It was a monument.
No, it's a refuge.
Okay.
So he turned it into a monument from a refuge.
Mm. Okay.
By using executive privilege in order to sign these. This way, you don't have to go to Congress to get approval.
Right, and there's no public input. And if I remember correctly, there was never a draft. There was never anything. It just boom. It was a stroke of a pen, and it happened.
And that's basically what's going on again. So I'll give Nani this letter, and she can read it later.
But I have a copy.
What happened was that this came as quite a shock to a lot of people that this was going to happen, because nobody talked to the people about expanding this. And so as part of this, the Statistical Committee they call it Scientific and Statistical Committee of the Western of WestPAC, which is the Western Pacific Regional Fisheries Management Council, set up under the Magnuson-Stevens Fishing Act. They weighed in because they currently manage the fisheries in the area that is going to be contested. And this panel has published a white paper, which is available on the WestPAC website. And they came to the conclusion that marine resources that occur in the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, and I'd like to just say NWHI, and surrounding U.S. Exclusive Economic Zone, which is the EEZ, they're already protected and subject to comprehensive management. Expanding the National Monument will not provide any additional conservation benefits for the highly mobile species mentioned in the letter, such as tuna, billfish, sharks, sea turtles, and marine mammals that range well beyond the EEZ. And then seabirds such as Laysan and black-footed albatross are already protected by a suite of regulations, and it will result in negative socioeconomic impacts to Hawaii fisheries.
Socioeconomic
impacts to Hawaii fisheries, Hawaii economy, and to the United States. And that one in particular really gets me because they haven't thought about what will be the consequences of closing off all this fishery area. And to my mind, one of the major consequences will be you're going to be taking regulated, licensed fishers like Greg, who report their catch, who have GPS on board, you know where they are all the time, where they're fishing, and you're going to take them out of the system. And are you going to be able to patrol an area the size of the three western states of the United States and keep out the illegal, unregulated, undocumented fisheries, which is called IUU?
So if I understand that correctly, the legal fishermen all have a GPS on them, so it's easy.
It's a VMS. It's a vessel monitoring system. It's a little bit different than a GPS. GPS just gives you your location. This actually sends up to a satellite and tells the managers where you are at every minute you're out in the ocean.
So our own...
That's for our U.S. fleet.
Our U.S. fisher people will be really monitored in the international world.
They already are, yeah.
I have a couple little announcements. One is that there is an anti-RIM pack, that's the Rim of the Pacific, a Navy event tonight. That is 6 p.m. And, Marshall, I'm wondering, because this is in your handwriting, did you know where that RIM pack event is?
I think it's at the Kapa'a Library.
It's a Kapa'a Library?
I think that's where it is, yeah. It might be the neighborhood center.
All the information on that.
Okay.
Kohala Leo Surfrider Foundation, Kauai Alliance for Peace and Justice, and Code Pink are restarting the Oceans for Peace Coalition to educate the public on the impacts of war preparations and practice on our ocean. All are welcome. Tuesday, May 24th, that's today, at 6 p.m. at the Lihue Neighborhood Center across the highway from Wilcox Hospital.
Okay, so I just kind of broke conversation a little bit so people could have time to go there. And even on that point...
Too bad it's so late notice.
Well, so at least...
Just found out.
Me too. I just found out. So, but tonight...
Say the name again, was what?
Kauai Peace and Social Justice and the...
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oceans for Peace, and the number 4 is not spelled out. So you can do oceans4peace@gmail.com.
And on that point, too, when we're talking about RIMPAC, I'm not trying to slam our Navy, but... And did you guys read the article where it looks like the outcome of their decision is 12 million takings that they're allowed to do? That means...
Oh, my gosh.
A taking isn't... Oh. A kill.
12 million?
12 million takings over the next 5 years. So that can be harassment, it can be injury, but 12 million takings of marine life.
Well, just an interaction, but it's, yeah.
But let me just say that the expanded Papahanaumokuakea has no regulations for the military. They can go in and do anything
they
want.
They're totally exempt.
It is in the rules.
Well, and that's why I brought that up relative to this, because when we are saying no fishermen out there, there's not anything precluding the damage that can happen from
the military.
The military. And yeah. Because we are on a fund drive, I want to send out a quick thank you to
absolutely.
Ilana from Kapa'a, generous, kind. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting KKCR and Kauai Soapbox. And also Mark from Kilauea, Mahalo Nui. We have a $1,000 goal, hoping that we have an angel donor out there. I know I do mine on a maintenance thing. I donate every single month.
Okay.
So it spreads it out and it works out, and that actually gives KKCR a good trickle in, you know. The more
yes.
we have on those sustaining memberships, the better. Yes, I know Shyla is on the phone. Shyla,
hi.
We'll let you jump in here for a moment, then we'll go back to Lynn.
All right.
Can you speak really directly into your phone?
Okay, hold on. Let me get off my Bluetooth.
There you go.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, much
perfect.
Better.
Great. So we are holding a rally next week, Tuesday. It's
Capital.
A peaceful gathering. And am I correct that Gordon is in your studio?
No.
Greg,
no.
Auntie
Greg
Nani,
Lynn.
And then Lynn.
Who's the gentleman on the phone?
Marshall.
Oh, that's Marshall.
Hi, Marshall.
Aloha.
So please let others know also that next week, Tuesday, May 31st at 4:30, we will all be joining together wearing our white T-shirts to convey our message of unity together. And we'll be just there to support each other in our feelings and opinion of not expanding this monument to save our seafood. We have also made a petition. Lots of us have worked very hard on this, and it's a petition that says, Save Hawaii Seafood. We, the undersigned Kauai residents, ask that Hawaii's fishing industry not be affected by any expansion proposal of the Papahanao Mokuakea National Marine Monument. And there are various locations, but we will be having the petition there for signage if they want to sign the petition.
So you
there.
Say there, where's there and when?
There, yes, it's at the state building in Lihue on Umi Street at 4:30 p.m.
So at the state building, that's that three-story white building right next to the county council building, the historic building.
It's the brown building. The state building is the brown, the more tanner.
Okay, tanner. Dirty white building. I think it was white at one point.
The corner.
Dirty
white building.
Dirty white building.
Yes.
Three stories there. So is this a demonstration or do you have a meeting?
We'll be there
a rally.
Gather rally. And after this rally, we will be meeting at Wilcox Elementary School for a talk story. And, of course, we're going to bring food because any good rally needs food.
And I would assume that people who are in favor of this would also be welcome because we really want to kuka, right? We want to be able to talk story and understand what's up, right? So anybody
yes.
is welcome, whether you're for it or against it. But
we agree.
The white shirts might be something that's a quick demonstration that you want to have a different solution to helping the area than a federal presence. Is that correct?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
You don't need to be exactly against expansion. You are welcome to come if you are for it. We welcome open discussions with people. We're a very peaceful group of people. You know us, Felicia, and we really do appreciate being on air and having the time, and hopefully people will come out. Some of the people that are actually supportive of the not expanding it is our mayor, Carvalho, on a May 5th, 2016 letter. He did write a letter to not, he submitted comments to not request to expand it. And we also have a May 3rd, 2006 letter to Obama, also with 30 state legislators' signatures from our state legislators.
Yes. I will say one thing that's a little hard for me in this whole thing is I like everybody on both sides of the issue. So, a lot of the people who really do believe in the expansion
right.
of it, I've known since they were little
well,
kids.
Well, it's a really confusing issue, and it does kind of stray between lines with conservation and other issues that are involved in this thing. So, you know, that's why, you know, we do want people to come so that we can all better understand each other's points, you know, and get this out.
I think one thing that the group has been talking about has been that there is no reason why a national monument or a marine protected area cannot be multi-use. And this is, you know, exclusion is the way that this was handled in the 1970s and 80s and up to the about mid 1980s. And since then, that's not been the way that these kind of expansions have been handled. So it's very interesting that this is, you know, the model. So do we have to build on the old model? Is that the way to go? So
I will say, having listened to some of the people on the other side of it that are cultural practitioners from their perspective, that that Northwest Hawaiian Islands were almost kapu, and that there was not, they were pristine and sacred and more the area of Keakua and not the area for the miscellaneous people to be hanging out, that they're very
right.
harsh environments, and that it wasn't. That I'm just given a piece of the
right.
other argument that I have heard.
Well, but it's dangerous to go to back in those days, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about sailing boats and rough waters with no weather monitoring or anything else. So people that went up there took it at great risk to get there.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that often that our fishermen would go there, because it was very far and it cost a lot of gas to get there. And then to find out, though, that you can't fish commercially, or you cannot bring any fish out of the area.
No.
And so why even go there? And so, you know, that's the point. They're stopping us from going there because of all of these restrictions, which was something that never happened even before they did the monument designation. So, you know, I have a problem with them changing the name of it, too. It's sounding more like a government thing than what it really is.
What's the name?
It's Kapai Aina o Hawaii, Archipelago of Hawaii.
Oh.
That has always been how our ancestors called it, and how I grew up knowing it as Kapai Aina o Hawaii. And when you address the government of Hawaii, you say Ko Hawaii Paina. Ko Hawaii Paina. And so, just putting that name, Papahana Moku Akea, great. That's a Hawaiian word, and you know, they always try to put on these Hawaiian words on all kinds of different organizations, just to make them sound like they're pono?
Well, to me, that means like the sky and the earth.
Papahana Moku is
the sky, the earth.
Yes, it's the earth.
And the sky.
Wakea is sky father. Papahana Moku is earth mother.
So... Can you speak to Auntie Nani about the role, or I want to ask you first, if you don't know, then I'll ask Lynn.
I was going to ask you a question first. Who are the people that you're going to be talked to that are the proponents? Because I've talked to some of them as well, and I have some really disturbing answers from them.
Well, I'll let them call in. I don't want to put...
They're calling in to
Well, they
you?
Might. They might, or they'll call in next week, or I can talk about that a little bit. But
that side of the story.
We definitely need...
And I tried to do that last Wednesday when we had one of them call in.
I'm
going to mention names, the signatories of this letter.
Okay, no, none of them are a signatory of the letter. Okay.
Oh, they aren't? Oh, the ones that you're talking to that are proponents are not signatories of the letter.
Let me look at the letter. Let me look at the signatures. I don't think anybody. These are young people.
Well, let me just talk a little bit more about the expansion.
Yeah, nobody's on here.
Okay.
Kauai people.
One of the things that I did in looking at the monument, one of the things that bothers me a lot is how it's managed. And this is from a scientific perspective as well. And using the Antiquities Act to expand the monument means that there's no science involved at all.
Okay, key point. It is the Antiquities Act. I know that. That is the end. Can you just tell us real quick what the Antiquities Act, and then I need to go to the top of the hour.
Okay, basically it's for preserving and protecting specific sites that have a specific meaning in national history. For instance, Pearl Harbor. Okay. And so it says specifically in that act that you are not supposed to ask for any more than is necessary to protect that resource.
So this antiquity, the aspect of antiquity, I would assume is the cultural purpose of the Hawaiian people?
I don't know. They haven't said what part of the Antiquities Act is that they wish to empower by expanding this 200 miles on a side.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you right, and then we're going to go to the 5 o'clock hour, this Antiquities Act is saying we need to expand this 200 miles in each direction and 1,250 miles north and south. Or, you know, the big direction don't change because that is preserving a piece of antiquity. That would be what it is under the Antiquities
Well, it
Act.
Should be something specific
yes,
that
but
it's preserving.
It isn't protecting the antiquities. It's doing the opposite.
Okay.
When we went, okay.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is the station that loves you. Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Marshall's helping me. I've got three people in the studio, Auntie Nani Rogers, fisherman Greg Holtzman, and Westpac important person Lynn McNutt. And then I have Shyla Moon on the phone. We are going to hear from our underwriters and our wave riders. These are the people that help keep KKCR Kauai Community Radio on the air. We still need to get almost $800 in this next window of time. So, mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio and Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456. PackYourTrash.org and SaveRCs.us.
Dove presents Xavier Rudd Hawaii Tour, Big Island, Maui, Oahu, and Kauai Manifest, June 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 26th. Xavier Rudd Hawaii Tour tickets on sale now, DovePresents.com.
Crater Lake Spirits, supporting KKCR and Kauai. Crater Lake Vodka, Gin, and Rye Whiskey. From Oregon, with love.
A. Feinberg Galleries, featuring award-winning photographer Aaron Feinberg, located at the St. Regis Princeville and Kukui'ula in Poipu on Kauai. New gallery open at Wailea Maui, expandingvisualreality.com.
Kauai Canvas, custom fine art gallery quality canvas giclée and specialty paper prints and image capture. KauaiCanvas.com.
Aegis Capital Management, Inc., fee-only institutional investment and financial planning brought to individual investors. Located in Princeville, 808-346-1331. AegisCapitalManagement.com.
Youth Impossible? Make it possible. School's out for summer. Kukui Grove Fun Factory. May 27th, 6 to 9. MissionYes.org.
Ono Pops Gourmet Frozen Pops, handmade on Kauai, local and organic ingredients. Over 20 Kauai locations at onopops.com. Ono Pops, local, ono, and pono.
Faring Family Farm Stand, serving organic fruit popsicles and frosties. Open 7 days, Wailapa Road, Kilauea, on the way to Kahili Quarry Beach.
Little Fish Coffee, serving the finest coffee, fruit smoothies, bagels, acai bowls, and paninis in Old Hanapepe Town. Littlefishcoffee.com, 335-5000.
Fresh Bite Food Truck in Hanalei, serving local farm-to-beach breakfast and lunch. 652-0744, FreshBiteKauai.com.
Discover clues to agelessness in Gabrielle Olivier's recent book, Age is Not a Number. Amazon.com, under Books, Gabrielle Olivier.
A. Feinberg Galleries, featuring two new images released on Kauai, Why Only by Moonlight and Split Decision, expandingvisualreality.com.
Anahola Granola, spreading aloha for 30 years with island-made, non-GMO granola and granola bars, anaholagranola.com.
Your Kauai Bookstore, 150,000 new books, new releases, secondhand, rare, and collectible, open every day. www.kauaibookstore.com, 335-6469.
Garden Island Hydro, providing all your growing needs. Open 7 days a week starting in June. GardenIslandHydro.com, 246-4769.
Dakine Hands Acupuncture, treating pain, injuries, facial rejuvenation, and more. For in-home or Hanalei treatments, call 808-631-6889.
If you would like information about any of these wave riders or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And Josephine, we love you so much, and thank you for helping.
Thank
and
you all
thank
for
you
donating.
For yeah, thank yeah. you. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lynn, you have the floor. Give us a big burst of information.
Okay. I just wanted to say that in the Pacific Ocean, expansion and thing that has gone on leaves us taking the brunt of most of the land or ocean being pulled out of use in order to satisfy the United States' needs for having protected areas. And an undue amount of this seems to be falling on people who live in the Pacific. And what we're talking about here is if we go out to the economic zone, the 200-mile limit, we're talking about 67% of the EEZ around the state of Hawaii.
The economic exclusive zone.
Yeah, the exclusive zone. And we just don't understand how on earth they're going to enforce this. I mean, how are you going to close all of this off?
Impossible.
And so it just seems like another unfunded federal mandate that has maybe some good stuff and heart, but no teeth.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm understanding what you just said, is that by picking a very large space here, it kind of pulls it off the slate for where they maybe might need to do it somewhere else?
Yes.
They've done it all the remote islands of our U.S. territories throughout the Pacific. President Bush first made marine monuments all around the CMI, Rose Atoll.
CMI, Marshall Islands.
Commonwealth of
Marshall Islands.
The Micronesian
Marshall Islands is a
Commonwealth. Yeah, this is another area from there. We also have two other areas, Johnson, Howard Baker, and Wake Island and Palmyra. Those were all done by President Bush 50 miles out. And then in 2009, Obama came in and he expanded those all out to 200 miles. So those are all out of our EEZ waters within the Pacific area have all been taken out and made marine protected areas where no fishing is allowed. Except for the indigenous people that live there in certain circumstances, and a very, very limited on CMI of some bottom fishing, because they have absolutely no way to get any other economics going over there. So they're small little islands. So this has been going on. This is the last big chunk that they've got up, you know, on this one. And so now Obama's going to try and expand this.
So Lynn, is this is it helping the animals? One would have to think it does. Does it?
Well, there's controversy about how much, and one of the things is to try and figure out what are we really protecting. I'd just like to have more discussion on this before it happens. As Greg was saying, approximately 28% of the U.S. exclusive economic zone in the Western Pacific has been established as no-take marine protected areas. That's 28%. Okay, there's no other area in the United States control. The West Coast has 0.22 0.22%.
Oh, 0.22% as opposed to 28%.
28, yes.
Okay.
So the west coast of the United States is the next biggest bunch of preserves. And everybody else, southwest in the Gulf, the west coast on the north part, like Alaska area, the northeast and Alaska itself, they are all under 1%. So most of the, you know, the requirement for having MPAs and things is being...
MPAs.
Marine Protected Areas is being placed on those of us living in the Pacific. And we just want to know what is the value of this other than, and as I'll lead into Nani with this one, there's a change in the management that's being proposed. And this is extremely significant to me, somebody who had to work with management and regulations for a really long time, is I look at it and... Department of Interior would still be involved, and the state of Hawaii, obviously, and OHA.
Office of Hawaiian Affairs?
Office of Hawaiian Affairs on an equal level with those three.
So is that giving the Office of Hawaiian Affairs effectively a promotion?
Yes.
So let's talk about that promotion for a moment, because that's kind of a big deal, right?
I think it's a very big deal, especially when one of the partners on the federal side is the Department of the Interior, because they are the same people who are trying to get the Na'iapuni
federal
recognition for Hawaiians
and
as a tribe.
And OHA is supporting it.
So that would be, for the listener who doesn't know, like a nation within a nation, the way the Native Americans are like the Navajo Nation within the United States, and... the Native Hawaiian people, or Kanaka Mo'ole, the people of Hawaii, they say, no, we are a sovereign nation. We are not a nation within a nation. So is there concern that this is a little bit of a trick?
There's concern on my part. I look at it and I say, wow, why are they? They are an agency under
the state of Hawaii.
So why are they at the table at the same level as the federal agency and the state of Hawaii?
So an argument might be because they are an existing structure that is ostensibly representing the interests of the Hawaiian voice, because what I got from this is that one of these reasons of doing this expansion is to create this calm and protection of the Hawaiian culture, but so much so that I'm not sure many Hawaiians actually are even able to get in there.
That's what is being
right.
That's what is being sold as a conservation measure, because that's what sells. But what's really happening is it's a territorial grab, and it's being done with President Obama, who has just been looking into doing an executive order to make this DOI.
Department of Interior,
nation within a nation status. It's going to ram it down the Hawaiians' throats, whether they like it or not. Possibly. And I know that some of the Kanaka Mo'ole went over to Washington, D.C. just in the last week or so to try and convince the White House that this is not a good idea. But it comes at a very coincidental time with the seven Hawaiian who all happen to be pro-DOI people.
Well, they're not all pro-DOI people. That's why I was really surprised to see Walter Riddy's name there.
He's not on there.
He's not on there.
No, he's not.
Did his name get taken off? Wasn't it on there to begin with?
No. He wasn't one of the signatories.
Okay.
So when we asked in a meeting why would seven Hawaiians want the federal government to take out their sovereign waters from anyone's use, at a meeting at Ron Kochi's office, it was silent. They had nothing to say about it. And when we asked them what was the reason for doing this, they said that they had found several new seamounts and a couple battleships in the area that was not already part of the monument. And this is very small areas. And now they're looking at increasing this by 660,000 square miles, which would bring it up to 800 and something.
No, it goes up to 660,000.
Is it?
So 660,000 square miles.
Square
okay.
miles.
So, all right, I have another question. My understanding is you need to get a permit to get into that area. Do you have any knowledge of who gets permits?
I went through every annual report, and the report for 2012 is not... or 15 is not out yet. And I went through every annual report, and basically the research gets the most, then special ocean use, and that really is very interesting to follow. That's like film companies, TV companies.
So they can get in there?
Most of them,
well,
46%.
They apply for permits.
46% of those permits are for Midway.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of like Midway's its own little universe.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also conservation and management permits that go out. Most of those are to NGOs, but some are to colleges.
Non-government organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sorry, I keep forgetting. Mm-hmm. And then there's education permits, and there's only been 17 of those over the last 7 years. And Native Hawaiian practices, there's been 16 of those.
In how many times?
Seven years.
16 Hawaiian practice permits have been issued in 17.
But
in
not
seven
all
years.
Were used.
Not, yeah, one of them was not used, which was the Daughters of Hawaii. And so in the recreation ones, there have been no permits in the last 4 years.
Mm. So nobody's gone up there to, say, paddle with a canoe club all the way to the end there? Well, you know, did you see that one film? It was so good where they did paddle all the way up to... is it called Kern Island? They paddled all the way up there. I saw there was a movie that was done there, and one of our community members with stage 4 cancer was on that crew.
Well, let me give you an idea who does go up there. Like I said, I went through all of them. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot in the last 3 years of Namaka Papahanaumokuakea with Conservation International, and that's Presley Wan and his group.
Okay, I like Presley.
You're only supposed to get a permit for 1 year, and this one's been going on for three. And then before that, there was another Hawaiian group, but they were sponsored by the Nature Conservancy. And so that's how Hawaiians are getting the money to be able to get up there, because it's so expensive.
So you have to have some, but I mean, really, honestly, it would take a lot to get up there anyway.
Absolutely.
My understanding is Presley does have a family lineal heritage to one of those islands up there, or being up in there. Auntie Nani, do you have a cultural reaction to...
I certainly do. As a Kanaka O'iwi, someone that has a koko of the blood of my ancestors, we find that whole area is a sacred cultural heritage area.
Nobody disputes that.
And I hate the fact that they're giving the military free range on within those waters. That is genocide. It's a war crime. Okay, I'm going to get to the elephant in the room, and that is the fact that the federal government has no jurisdiction over our waters anyways. And they're up in a case now at the Swiss International Criminal Court. Has been accepted a complaint filed by Keanu Tsai citing certain particular people, mostly political people like governors and mayors of Kauai, etc., as war criminals for participating in pillaging, for participating in taking property that does not belong to them. And so this, to me, is an act of pillaging by the federal government, by the Department of Interior, the Department of, what was the other one, Health, and by OHA. OHA was not elected to be a representative of our nation. They were not elected to do that. Their election was to benefit the people of our, with the 50% blood, which isn't even me, actually. But that is their purpose and their mission. Not that they are to be acting as a government over our people and making decisions for us without a fair process and without our consent. So that's the way I see it. You know, I know we are sovereign. We are living on sovereign lands. Our islands and our waters are sovereign waters. Belongs not to the government. It belongs to the people. And we ourselves should be the ones that will be home ruling all of these waters that are connected to our country, which is our archipelago. So, you know, it's not just eight islands, people. And this is a very important issue. I speak to all of you to give this some deep concern, and please do something about it. Don't just listen and then forget about it. But this is very important that we participate in that, because in this, because it is protecting our homelands, and it is about protecting us self-rule over these lands and oceans.
So thank you. So are you saying that by getting involved in this and allowing them to expand it, and OHA being part of that process, that they're actually saying the water belongs to the federal government?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is war crimes.
I want to read the list here, and we also have Clayton Kubo that I'm going to bring on the phone. And Clayton, hi, Clayton. Are you there, Clayton? Clayton, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
So you're on here with us. I'm going to read the list of names, and then I need to mahalo some of our wave riders, because this is a fun drive today.
Yep.
So then we're going to do that, and then we'll come back and hear what you have to say. So on these signatures, William Isla, he has been the head of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Right now, I believe he is the head of Department of Hawaiian Homelands.
Deputy
director of that. Kamana'o Pono. Okay, Kamana'o Pono Crab, who is the head of OHA.
CEO.
Well, and then there's Isaac Pakaharp. And then I don't know, I know Nainoa Thompson, there's Kaleo Manuel, I don't know him, Victoria Holt Takamini, don't know her, and
I know her.
Ke Kueva Kiki Loy, do you know who that is?
No.
Okay, so those are the people who are on there. I want to mahalo our wave riders that help keep us on the air. This is a really excellent time for people to call in at 826-7774. We will be back with Clayton Kubo, Auntie Nani Rogers, Greg Holtzman, Lynn McNutt, as we are talking about the expansion of Papahanao Mokuakea by 660,000 square miles.
It's going to become 660,000.
It's going to become 660,000.
We have to stop it.
Okay, so mahalo wave riders for keeping Kauai Community Radio on the air.
Heartbeatofkauai.com, where cyberspace meets the coconut wireless, gratefully serving Kauai since 2002. Heartbeatofkauai.com, 634-4138.
Backseat driver, photographer, opinionated road trips, outdoor adventures, photo DVD included, original art, pet portraits. 635-0133. Wittywizardguide@gmail.com.
Richard Harder Construction, Incorporated on Kauai over 38 years. Specializing in custom homes, friend of KKCR from the beginning, Richard Harder Construction, 808-646-1304.
Mermaid's Cafe, fresh, local, healthy, serving Kapa'a since 1999. Open every day, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Mermaid's Cafe, 821-2026.
Hawaiian Spirits Bee Extractions, licensed and insured, professional hive extractions island-wide, trees, buildings, and more, proudly supporting KKCR, 212-4178.
Princeville Wine Market, specializing in boutique wines, craft beers, and spirits, located in Princeville Center, princevillewinemarket.com.
Rainbow Joe's, Kauai locally sourced and organic coffee, smoothie, and breakfast truck on Halau Street in Lihue near Vedina Stadium. Open Tuesday through Friday, 7 to 11 a.m. Rainbow Joe's.
Tiki Iniki launches Wild Women Wednesdays in Kama'aina Appreciation all day, all night, every Monday. For details, 431-4242. Tiki Iniki.
Hawaiian Island Dental. We serve Kauai families and help people get the smile they want. HawaiianIslandDental.com or 245-8866.
Harvest Market Hanalei in Hanalei Center on Kauai's North Shore proudly supports KKCR and encourages you to do the same.
Kauai Marine and More in Old Kapa'a Town is grateful for the Kauai community and KKCR, and hopes you will show your gratitude as well by supporting KKCR during our spring fund drive. Kauai Marine and More.
Wilder Goods, kick-ass women doing kick-ass things for kick-ass reasons. Hashtag Wilder Women. WYLDERGoods.com.
Moon's Eve, new album Intention by Santiago. Intimate, personal, organic melodies. Available on iTunes, Amazon, and CD Baby. Moon Z.
Red Clay Jazz Festival, August 6th at the Courtyard Marriott in Kapa'a. Pete Escovedo, Latin Jazz Band. Tickets online at www.redclayjazz.org.
Help save our bees. The Kauai Beekeepers Association supports Kauai Community Radio and encourages you to be friendly. Visit KauaiBeekeepersAssociation.com and learn how to give bees a chance.
If you would like information about any of these wave riders or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
And mahalo for listening to Kauai Community Radio. This is Kauai Soapbox, and we are talking about the Papahanao Mokuakea expansion. And I just was looking at the graph. Lynn was sharing with us about who gets the permits. I see that the Native Hawaiian practices is maybe 5%. Education is very small amount, and recreation is like about 0.5%. Clayton, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so share your mana'o real quick.
Well, as for me, okay, Clayton Kubo, Waimea Kauai. Okay, as for me, I went to Nihoa. Okay, I went to that island. I went to the surrounding waters of Nihoa, on Middle Banks, and then some. Okay, looking at it from a fisherman perspective. Okay, so I guess the way I got to view this is like this. This is a proposed expansion. Okay, no more guarantee. No more nothing is set in stone as of right so far right now from what I is understanding. Okay, there is no guarantee on even the line. Who knows where the line is going to end up? Okay, so in a way, whereas maybe some half-truth is spilling out of the pot. Because as far as I understand, like before, when they had the whale sanctuary expansion, there was a lot of half-truths was flying. Okay, so, you know, if people really, like, find out really what's going on, I guess they really going to have to need to talk to the guys that is proposing this expansion. Yeah. And Felicia, you said the guy's his name. So, you know, yeah, I know it is very hard to talk to Nainoa Thompson, but basically, I'm waiting on that guy, because I like hear from that guy, you know, why is the push for this expansion?
Well,
in a way, whereas I look at it, and I'm going to say from a fisherman perspective, there is some good, and there is some no good. But if we don't come to the table and kind of sort things out and always, you know, as far as I look at it, and you know the other issue that I've been fighting,
yes,
it seems like the government always wins. And it's money. Okay. But as for this one, you know, culturally, it is already protected. You know,
thank you.
Basically, Nihoa was just like taken away from me because I went there. I don't know who else can say that. Okay, I went there. I see that island. So I understand what it is to get that area taken away, like how PMR fucking said, taken away too. Cannot access them by land already. You got to access them by vessel. Or you got to go get one. You got to go get what? Or pay $25 for actually get on background check. You know, it's like, well, you got to pay to gather now. But, yeah, that's another issue. Okay. But as for this proposal, and it's just a proposal as of right now, and you know what the bottom line is? Yeah, the president, which the people had voted. He never voted himself in. The people had voted him in. So, yeah, he's going to end up to be the last, I guess, the ultimately last fish.
So, Clayton, what I want to just echo that I'm hearing you say, and a little bit later when...
We need to just come to the table and figure this on out.
That's exactly right.
Yes,
yeah,
and...
That's what we're advocating for.
And here's the challenge, though. Let me say the challenge. Best that I know is that there is no draft. There is no proposal to be reviewing.
No hearing set.
No, nothing like that.
No comment period.
It's just a trust me. And so if there's time later, because I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to share their piece, I want to tell, like, why I have a hard time trusting. Even when, it's really hard to trust it. So, thank you, Clayton. Do you have any last thought there?
Well, you know, you guys got to, aloha, Auntie Nani.
Aloha, Clay.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess the way it's my opinion, I'm going to say, and my opinion is not always right, and I'm basically a nobody anyway, but I have an opinion into this. If
that's
we basically don't continue to oppose and oppose and oppose, you know how the government is. They're going to
take.
The guys with money will do what they gotta do to get something done. So continue to not say the real stories and get people all riled up. Is that gonna make any sense? No.
Are we doing that?
Because when the truth comes out,
ask them.
Eventually,
what are we
people
saying,
will realize.
So,
whoa,
Clayton. Do you feel that we're saying something that's inaccurate? When you're listening, are we not saying the real story?
You know what, Felicia? I got one text message saying that I should listen to KKCR.
Okay.
Okay, so by the time I came on, I don't know what was said.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. But you basically never tagged me in your Facebook stuff.
Well, you know what? I didn't want to get scolded. I've tagged you, and then you go, what? You're not supposed to put things on my wall, so...
But you know, we got to come to the table on this one. Because
okay.
10 years ago, honestly, we never have one say a small boat fisherman. We never have one say nothing at all. So if we don't come to the table on this one, you know, I don't know. All I know is I'm trying to be at the table, but it's up to them if they're going to let me.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Mahalo, Clay.
Okay, Antinani, have a beautiful day.
Clayton.
Yes.
Clayton, before you go, can I ask you a question? As a fisherman? Yeah, as a fisherman.
Bottom line, Greg, is this. I've been texting you a number, I think a couple of times. You never call me back.
Okay, so anyways, let me ask you this question. As a fisherman, you said that there were some goods and there were some bads. I think, you know, we both are studying this, and I think we know where it could go wrong. So can you tell us what you see as possibly going well or the good side
of it? I can see the good in this is, okay, if the facts are the facts that going to get protected areas where the pelagic fish can successfully breed and grow big, us local fishermen, meaning the trawlers, meaning the baiters or pelagics, won't get one plus in that end. Okay?
Pelagics are big fish.
The fact is the
deep,
fact.
Deep water fish. Yeah.
I'm not saying that. Okay? But on the other hand, the way I got to view it is, when is it going to end? The what you call it, the control. Okay? So, and that is a question that I've been saying to these people, and the ones that is listening, the ones that know me, they know what I've been saying.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Clayton.
Thank you, Clayton.
Mahalo,
so Greg,
Clayton.
Greg, whenever I text you, well, call me. I think you should.
Okay. Got it. Okay, that's a private call.
Scolding.
No scolding on the air.
Okay.
You should always call me.
All right. So aloha.
Love
thank you,
Clay.
So much.
Love you.
Hey, have a beautiful one. Aloha.
Aloha.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. We've got three strong people in the show here. Everybody's still got something to say. We probably got somebody else on the phone.
We do, Felicia, but I also just want to mention that we had a caller who asserts that the Marine Sanctuary is an expansion of the PMRF operating zone, and the purpose of it is to keep out Chinese spies.
Who?
Oh.
They didn't care to go on the air or give any other information. They just wanted to drop that into the conversation.
Okay.
I think that's a distraction.
I do not doubt that this expansion has a lot to do with geopolitical and
military
things going on, too.
No.
And we do also have a caller.
Okay, because and I'll just throw in one little piece, and I don't know if I'll ever have time in this show. I got two pages of stuff where I have trouble with trusting government and policy even as they are being expressed this week. That doesn't mean it's a slam on the individuals who are creating it. It is just a lot of times a well-intentioned policy doesn't end up getting applied as intended. You know, we have people who are very economically muscular, and they seem to be able to just step right over the people who sometimes these tax breaks or these benefits are intended for. There's a number of things like that. Okay, caller, you're on the air. We're going to have to go quick. Who's on the air? Or you don't have to tell me your name, but hello.
My name is Uncle Saul.
Hey, Uncle Saul. I was trying to text you. Can't call me on my cell because I can't answer it on the air, okay?
No, that's okay, honey. You know what? I'm over here. My name is Uncle Saul Colomona Coupier-Hea. The lady that's next to you knows my family very well.
Yes. Auntie.
And I have a bunch of fishermen over here. Just so happens they came back, drink beer. And now we're listening to your show.
Right on.
Hi, everybody.
And all the connects over here. But yeah, Felicia.
Okay.
Yeah. Felicia, she's in with the boys. But, you know, this closing of everything, we all like that because, you know, and then, you know, all these big boats going around. And because we don't have that type of boat.
That's right.
To go out there. You know, we gotta wait for that tuna to come closer to the Kauai and then go down the island chain.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm talking about, because I'm a fisherman, that's how I brought my family up, so is the rest of the Kupi here.
So, how many people use these long lines? Greg, do you use a long line?
No, that's a very managed fishery. The amount of fish that's brought in daily into the auction block is, you know, anywhere from 20 to 100,000 pounds of tuna per day, and it's, you know, 50% of it is eaten in Hawaii at least.
You need to
understand this now. Oh, these guys are bringing that kind of weight inside. What are the us guys, the small fishermen?
Well, I was going to use the word industrial. Is there, you know, industrial fishing? Is like, who's doing the industrial fishing?
No, this is hook and line fishing. I mean, you know, yeah, they might have a 40-mile set of long line with maybe a thousand hooks on it.
We're going to stop on that 40-mile stop. Yeah. We're going to go because we're trolling out there, Felicia Cowden. We're going out there in the old style.
Right, so this is something that I have heard is that, like, industrial fishing is not in alignment with Hawaiian kind,
I would not put longline fishing as industrial fishing. To me, industrial fishing is those purse seiners who go out and catch everything.
Yes. So is there a bycatch from longline?
What is longline to you, then?
Well, longline to me is at least managed.
Longline means to catch everything, honey. Listen, we Hawaiian fishermen, we went out in a canoe before just to feed our family. You guys don't want to make money. You guys want to make all the money and then I'll take them. Where are you taking them? You feeding who? Who? Not the Hawaiian, you feeding the rich.
Well, I think the rich will be very unhappy when all of the fishers are gone from there who are from United States.
Who said with you then?
No, not me. I'm not a fisher.
Well, who said with you? Because right now, my table where I live in the hood, in the Hawaiian homes, the kingdom of Hawaii. Felicia has been here. She knows. The boys that come over here, we're all island fishermen. And what we catch, the litter that we catch, it's just to feed our family. If we can make enough for gas so we can go back out again, that's good enough for us.
Can the boats that people locally fish in, though, can they even make it out there? I mean, it seems like a long way.
That's what I'm trying to get at, Felicia. No.
So are
because
you...
Hawaiian, first of all, Felicia, all your thoughts. First of all, How I know what I can money to go that far? No, you're going to hold that whole place off, close them off, which I like. I seen you there at the minute. I talked to you very briefly, but we need to shut them. Shut them down.
So you would like to see it expanded. You would like to have
yes.
that area. Okay.
Yes, man. So, yes, man.
Okay.
I got 15 Hawaiians over here, all fishermen. They all like a chore. They all like, and first of all, we feeding the family. After that, we get a little bit extra, then we're going to pay for, sell a thing for, pay for the gas so we can go tomorrow.
So bottom line is, you're, Hui right there, they say, okay, they're fine with expanding the size of the protection.
Oh, they love that little girl.
Okay.
But what you going to do?
Well, if you could see my gang right now, you would be cheering on with yeah.
I'd be playing ukulele. But Uncle, Uncle, if we shut it down and then Indonesians, Chinese, and Japanese boats come in and still take the fish.
Then you know what? The federal government has been outside in what, and then we
monitor.
Yeah, they've been out there. I mean, they have control. You guys are fighting, okay, Obama is going to try to help us. Then let them do that. Keep them out. You know what I mean?
Okay.
There, honey.
Well, Uncle Saul, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your mana'o. And tell the rest of the boys, thank you for the uncles, the men.
All our lava'a.
Yes. Thank you for your input. And I think
Aloha.
I got another person.
Aloha.
Okay.
Maybe I can add one thing that, you know, there are fishermen out there that feel that by, you know, taking this area out and getting rid of the longliners, that somehow that will equate to more fish for them or at least higher prices for them. And, you know, I was in the bottom fishing industry here for 35 years, and when the Northwest Hawaiian Islands was taken out, a lot of the people thought we were going to get a lot higher prices. Well, we haven't been getting higher prices, but the increase in foreign fish, opakapak and onaga, has increased dramatically. And I think that, you know, the port of landing of Honolulu brings in the vast majority of tuna that we have in Hawaii. Now, on Kauai, most of that is locally caught, and we're lucky to be able to feed our people from our local fishermen. But the tuna aren't always around, and when they aren't, those prices would be astronomical if we didn't have the block to help that out. And a steady supply keeps a steady price for the consumer, and that is a very important thing that we need to understand, that we eat approximately 35 pounds of fish per year per adult in Hawaii. That is a, I think,
it's twice as much as the mainland
right.
United States.
There you go. And so we need our tuna. We need the
yes.
ahi brought us. So I do understand the Hawaiian fishermen out there who feel that you know, somehow by shutting this out, that's somehow we're going to equate into more fish for our fishermen. But if you know the longline industry and how it works and how it's managed, which Lynn and I have been involved with Westpac for a long time, you realize that it is sustainable, and it's been very sustainable and helping to feed our people for a long time, we hope to in the future.
And one nice thing about Hawaiian fishery is it's fresh. It arrives here and it's fresh. When Uncle goes out and fishes, he brings a bag, puts it on ice, he brings a bag, you've got fresh fish. If we're going to have these unregulated fishers out there, they get lots and lots of fish, and they freeze it. And so what we're going to be getting is frozen fish.
Okay, and you're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. And I have a goal of $1,000, and so far I have done $253. So thank you so much for the people who've done that. And if I could get an angel donor or anybody even just to give me how much do I need? I want to bring it up to an even... amount. Dove, what do I want there?
500. Try to get
well,
it up
we're all
to
getting five. Really excited. First off, thank you so much for doing such a great program. But we're all really excited around here because it's our final night of the fun drive.
Wow.
This is it. We end tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. And we only have 4,289. So if we could get 289 right now, which would be an angel pledge, then we would break the 4,000. We would be into the 3,000 area, and that would be really exciting. So we've got new volunteers. Redbrick just showed up. He's on the phones. We've got Jimmy on phones. We're here waiting for your call. So
and there's so many good little gifts, and there's so much. And you know what? We're looking for even new people, new pledges.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
It's like a big team, and it helps us feel loved.
And
but it keeps the lights on. It keeps the signal going.
And this is the last full public affairs programming of the drive. So if you really want to show your support of public affairs programming, open call-ins, mm-hmm. all the people that call in. I mean, it's pretty amazing that we have a radio station that allows anybody to call up on the phone and say whatever they want to say about anything. It's
and
total free speech
studio,
radio.
Too.
So
that's right.
Freedom of speech.
And this
yes.
is a community conversation, and we, you know, work really hard to have it be fair. We have three people in here. We've had a number of callers, and
this is what Clayton was saying. We need to have a conversation, and we're having a conversation. If you call 826-7771 or 826-7774, you can contribute.
Yes.
You can.
Yes,
you know,
but to the proponents of this, we need to convene hearings on this. This was why my main point.
I mean, that's
to
the structure
here.
Of it doesn't do it. Marshall?
So we had a caller. Her name is Hoku, and she's from the Cultural Working Group.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted to comment that protection is an investment in future generations, mm-hmm. and she's looking forward to the meeting next week.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I think that, you know what, I think the people who are proponents are going to come and listen. You know, they're going to come yeah. and listen when you guys have your rally. And because it really takes is talking together. I think, like, I'm going to need to save my mana'o for another show. But we are going to have, we've got a few more things where I have to say Wave Rider, or don't have to say, I'm happy to say, and mahalo the Wave Riders. So I want each of you to be able to be very succinct. I want to make sure you feel like you have gotten your critical pieces out. I'm looking at Lynn. I know she does not feel that way. Greg, have you been able to say what you really wanted to say, or do you have...
I got one thing that I don't feel that this is about conservation. It's about a territorial grab, and the rest is just breadcrumbs to the bread, and it's up to the Kanaka Maoli to figure out what's right for them. But trust me, it's about you guys, and you guys should be involved in this for sure.
Oh, I think it's more than just the Kanaka Maoli.
Well, absolutely, but you know, they're
the
ones that. Well, that's the ones that President Obama is trying to appease by this with this DOI, Nation Within a Nation recognition, and this expansion.
And it is a response to the letter from seven very prominent Hawaiian leaders.
That's right.
Seven very prominent people just writing a letter directly to the president to say, respect us.
With no previous notification or conversations with the people that are going to be affected by that.
So we've had seven heavy hitters.
So we need to have, who do I call a conference with? The people that are... The OHA and those three agencies, we should hold hearings with them, you think?
Well, they
is
never
that
did.
Who I should get
they never
a hold? I'd be happy to set up a hearing.
The Antiquities Act does not require hearings. It does not require the public to have any comment whatsoever, and so there
that's
has
so
been
unfair.
None.
Just a
and
single signature.
Yep, that's what happened last time.
If you'd like to put some mana'o in, you can go to HawaiiOceanUsers@gmail.com and send us an email.
Okay, and there are two people holding. Lynn, I know you're anxious. You have, like, can you do it in 2 minutes? Because I got people holding too, and Jazz with John is coming up.
I think we need to be very careful about preservation, because I am all for preservation and care of our resources. And I think that being able to share and in a sustainable way is a much more friendly, aloha-like way to go about this, because the near shore from 50 miles in is fully protected. And that encompasses a major part of the Hawaiian heritage that exists out there. Mm. And when you expand it, another thing about a boundary like this, with climate change and migrating species, boundaries don't change, but where the fish go will change. And that's something to keep in mind.
That's
very good.
That's a really excellent point. Okay, let me grab these callers. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Aloha.
Okay. We're almost out of time, so you got to go quick.
I'm actually in shock. I cannot believe that there's a woman on here trying to talk about respecting Hawaiian resources and Hawaiian culture, where longline fishing is not Hawaiian. It kills absolutely everything that is unfortunate enough to get lashed on one of those hooks. It's the most exploitative thing. You might as well have trawling, okay? It kills turtles. It kills endangered species. It kills sharks. It kills dolphins. Everything gets caught. And yeah, so 50% of that fish is eaten over here, but by who? From people from the mainland, from tourists. And now you're actually going to advocate in the name of, like, respecting the Aina and all that? I am in shock. KKCR, you people are actually, like, proponents of longline fishing, and you're actually against the local fishing, and you are basically saying, you know what, this is competing with us. You know, the Hawaiian way is not to take everything and destroy and decimate it and turn around and sell it and make a profit for yourself, okay? Okay, that is not Hawaiian, and it doesn't even follow the kapu tradition. Shame on you. Shame.
Okay, thank you so much.
Speaking to me.
Yeah, are you speaking?
No, I think she's speaking to me. And the thing is that I'm saying is it's a sustainable fishery. It can support many people. If you want to have a discussion about how the fishing is done, that's another discussion. But to allow the federal government to come in and expand like that and then close it all off is only going to put the fishing pressure someplace else, because it's going to move.
They have observers on the boat, on all the boats. They have take restrictions on turtles and seabirds. They've mitigated many of the problems in the past.
Yeah, and
with their deep sets.
If they do interact with birds and sea turtles and these other, if they have more than a very low number of interactions over the whole year, they shut down the entire fishery.
And then just a point on the KKCR comment, our mission is to give voice to the underserved voices. And so we are doing both sides of this topic. We've been having both sides of this topic. And
good.
You know, and so we listen with an open mind to both sides of the issue. And commonly you're going to hear that. Commonly people are going to hear people that they don't agree with. But thank you so much for your call. I have one more call holding. Mahalo. Aloha. You're on the air.
Hi, aloha, Felicia. Hi, Auntie Nani. John Wayne here.
Hey, aloha, John.
Hey, just one quick comment. Like I mentioned several times before, with so many issues that you guys bring up, everything be solved by just, if everybody would get on board, with the majority of people get on board with, the proper jurisdiction. And the reinstated Hawaiian Kingdom already has the platform and the foundation. In fact, the latest, at the last island meeting, the news was, Minister of Foreign Affairs, approaching all, we had, 91 consulates and embassies around the world, and approaching many nations about the existing treaties that are still active.
Caller?
And so far, Japan and Russia
have
responded affirmatively
to
recognize the existing treaties that we have.
Thank you so much for that. I'm pretty much out of time here, so I'm
getting... Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
any comment on the expansion?
It was already established. The proper jurisdiction, and that would eliminate all the complications.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So you're against it.
He's saying it needs to be the nation of Hawaii.
He's saying that the federal government does not have the authority to even...
That's what he's saying.
Which is what I said. We are going to hear a few little more things, okay, and then we are going to say a final aloha, and then it will be County Council Report and Jazz with John.
Attention recyclers, beginning June 1st, Kauai residents and businesses can recycle their electronic waste free of charge 6 days a week. E-waste will be accepted at the Puhi Metals Recycling Center Monday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Puhi Metals is located at 3951 Puhi Road, about a mile from the intersection of Kaumualii Highway. Acceptable e-waste includes computers and accessories, televisions, printers, office equipment, audio and video equipment, and handheld devices. All brands of e-waste will be accepted free of charge with no quantity limits. Services are provided by Resource Recovery Solutions, and e-waste is shipped for recycling to IMS Electronics Recycling in Washington. For more information, call the County Recycling Office at 241-4841, 241-4841, or visit our website at kauai.gov/e-waste, kauai.gov/e-waste. Help keep our garden aisle green. Recycle your e-waste.
The BRAD Foundation, supporting Kauai and its youth through monthly beach cleanups and outdoor youth programs. www.b-radfoundation.org, 651-3970.
Treasure Trees Milling and Lumber, local Hawaiian hardwood, slabs, dimensional lumber, and milling services. Save our trees, 212-5879.
The Barn 808, a brand new lifestyle boutique located in Hanalei, featuring clothing and homeware for modern island living. TheBarn808.com.
Hey, KKCR dads, be recognized as one of Kauai's best. Storybook's Dad's Day Celebration, Saturday, June 18th, Hanapepe Town Park.
Garden Island Properties, located in Waipuli, Kapa'a, since 1992, is proud to support KKCR. GardenIslandProperties.com.
Aspire Furniture, Kauai's home furnishings and interior design destination. Located in the Big Blue Building at Nauwiliwili. AspireFurniture.com. 808-245-9015.
Hanai at Kojima Store in Kapa'a, now open, serving 100% local veggies, meats, and prepared food. HanaiKauai.com. HanaiKauai.com.
Puahina at Hanapepe on Facebook, original Hawaiian-designed clothing store, located in the heart of Hanapepe. Puahina at Hanapepe on Facebook.
Be healthy, be happy, be helpful, be hopeful, be human, be humble, be here. Papaya's Natural Foods, be even better.
Goldsmiths Kauai has created fine jewelry designs with gemstones, pearls, and diamonds in Wailua for 36 years. 822-4653 or www.goldsmiths-kauai.com.
Qingyang Village in the heart of Hanalei supports Kauai Community Radio.
The Seven Sisters Doula Collective is spreading the doula spirit to Kauai's birthing families. 808-286-3602, www.kauaidoulas.com for more information.
Living on Kauai 28 years, selling real estate for 10, hardworking, honest. I love Kauai. Austin Owen, Country Brokers Real Estate, 635-7587.
Johnny Wickman and the Poi Boy Records Ohana support KKCR and value its incredible service to our community.
From the most pristine paradise on earth comes a natural alkaline artesian water that is so powerful it will change you. Hawaii Volcanic Water for Life. HawaiiVolcanic.com.
Ken's Woodworking and Home Repair, specializing in honeydew lists. 651-0117.
Alala'a Dance Arts Yoga Academy in Hanalei. New studio opening in June. Home of Yoga Hawaii. Youth at Risk Outreach Programs, inspiring healthy life choices. 808-652-YOGA.
Island Weddings and Blessings, providing full services for weddings, vow renewals, house, land, and baby blessings since 1989. 808-828-1548. IslandWeddingsAndBlessings.com.
If you'd like information about any of these wave riders or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. I want to thank all the people who have donated to this show. Ian from Kilauea, Kath from Idaloo, Texas, Benjamin, Lebanon, Tennessee, Bridget, Poipu, Sandy Wailoa, Felicia, that's me, Kilauea, Joe, Janie, Paulette, Josephine, Mark, Ilana, and Margaret, mahalo. You are those who keep Kauai Soapbox on the air. Very quick aloha as we go out. Then we're going to hear Kauai Council Report and Jazz with John. Auntie Nani.
Yes. Aloha and ahui ho. Mahalo KKCR for giving us this opportunity to help to educate our people about issues that are so very important to us. Mahalo and ke kupu. Aloha ke kahi I ke kahi.
Greg.
Mahalo Kauai. Mahalo Felicia. Mahalo KKCR for all you do.
Ben.
And mahalo to all the people who called in. And I want to say it's not too late to call in still. It's 826-7771 or 826-7774. Mahalo, Felicia.
Mahalo. And Marshall?
The results are in from Washington State. Trump picks up an additional 27 delegates. Aloha, everyone, and thanks a lot.
Okay, so that's a big mahalo. Jazz with John is up next. He's done a great job, always very good at tolerating us running slightly over time. John is an amazing guy, too. And he's grown to be quiet, but he has got strong knowledge on all this stuff. So he sits there and gives us this sort of loving smile. You know, he's like, I'm not sure about that. I'm always trying to drag him in here. So you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea, the station that loves you. Here's the County Council report.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a County Council report for the week of May 23rd. There will be a public hearing Tuesday, May 24th at 8:30 a.m., and the council committee meeting will follow the hearing. The hearing and meeting will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here highlights in the agendas. The public hearing will be on communications from the mayor submitting his supplemental budget communication for fiscal year 2016-2017 and proposed amendments to the budget bills. Here highlights in the committee meeting agenda. The Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee has on their agenda Bill 2628 for an ordinance to amend the county code relating to revocable permits in county-designated rights-of-way, and a public hearing was held on this on May 18th. The Planning Committee has on their agenda Bill number 2627 for an ordinance to amend the county code, adding a new Article 5B relating to the Lihue Planning District, and the County of Kauai is the applicant, and this was deferred from May 11th. The Budget and Finance Committee has communications from Budget and Finance Committee Chair Connie Sherrill transmitting the proposed increases to deductions from and other proposed amendments plus minus sheet to the Mayor's Fiscal Year 2016-2017 Annual Operating and Capital Improvement Project Budgets. Also on their agenda is Resolution Number 2016-35, establishing the real property tax rates for the fiscal year July 1, 2016 to June 30, 2017. For the county, and a public hearing was held on this on May 11th. The committee has two bills on their agenda. They are Bill number 2625 for an ordinance relating to the operating budget and financing thereof for the fiscal year July 1, 2016 to June 30, 2017. This is fiscal year 2016-2017. Operating budget and a public hearing was held on this on May 11th. Also on their agenda is Bill 2626 for an ordinance relating to capital improvements and financing for the fiscal year July 1, 2016 to June 30, 2017. And that again is the fiscal year 2016-2017 CIP budget. Public hearing was held on this on May 11th. There will also be an Affordable Housing Committee meeting on Thursday, May 26th from 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. in the P.E. Coy Building, Conference Room B. That's at 444 Rice Street in Lihue. For more information on meetings or meeting archives, please visit the county website. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
And stay tuned for Jazz with John coming up next. And great show, Felicia. Always very, very interesting. And we have a great show for you tonight. And we're getting very close to our goal. We're just a little bit over 4,000 away from our $60,000 goal. So hopefully we'll pick up some stuff tonight on Jazz with John. And we're going to kick off our theme song, I hope.